Earlier you mentioned, Jonathan, stagflation economists are saying we're there. That nightmare scenario has arrived. What is the antidote to stagflation?
I mean, if you look back at history, we're going back to the 1970s where this really took hold of the economy, and it's a very long-term issue. I mean, it can last for a decade or longer. The only bright side is that long-term forecasts in a stagflationary environment tend to be wrong, in that at the moment there's this belief we can only see interest rate rises on the horizon. But if there's a major economic shock and then you have joblessness rising, who knows, that the central bank could well be put into a position that needs to start reducing rates in the medium term to actually help re-stimulate the economy. The problem, of course, in stagflation is you just go from one to the other, one to the other. So I do think for the next several years we're going to get that sort of environment.
Mm. Tom, the economic consequences are wide-ranging. What are the political consequences if the government doesn't do enough to alleviate the pressure that people are feeling? Will it just further entrench the kind of dissatisfaction and disillusion that could push people towards, you know, populist parties like One Nation?
Yeah, I think the conditions are right for that kind of movement, and One Nation is certainly seeing a boost in its public support already. I think people will be really feeling it at the hip pocket, filling up the petrol tank or going to the supermarket, and governments traditionally take a whack in that kind of economic environment. Of course, our next federal election is still a couple of years away, so it's possible that changes could be flowing into the system by then. The other thing that I would say is that so far the government has treaded a careful line on blaming the economic disruption on the United States and Israel-led war in Iran. Mm. I think we could see that become more pointed as it goes on. I think people are aware that figures like Donald Trump are really unpopular in Australia, that this war is really unpopular. We might see more kind of sharper criticism. It's difficult for the government to do that. Of course, they need to cooperate with world leaders like Trump and Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu whenever they can. But I think some of the political dynamics could shift in that area as people feel it more and more.
Tell me more about that, Tom, because the language that Jim Chalmers has used is that the Australian economy is being held hostage by decisions being made in Washington and Tehran. What did you make of that?
I think that's true. The Strait of Hormuz is a good example, something that was very foreseeable before this conflict started and yet apparently not very well planned for. However, whether voters, you know, give the government credit or give them a bit of leeway when they're making political decisions as a result of what caused this, I'm not convinced. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I think that's why Jim Chalmers will often say Australian voters didn't choose this conflict or aren't responsible for the settings that are whacking us. I'm just not sure how long that kind of rhetoric will get them through. They might need to shift things up or go further in criticising international leaders.
There's pretty good evidence looking back at past periods of economic instability that the population will naturally look for populist policies because they often overpromise, and then when they underdeliver, then they get booted out and they'll look for the next populist policy. So it's really the economic environment is ripe for that. And in these sorts of periods as well, you tend to have more division in communities because people are unhappy. And even within a business might be struggling with increased costs, but its employees are also struggling with costs. So they want pay rises. The business wants to put a lid on that, and you get unhappy workers and general community members. So it doesn't bode well if it continues down the path we're on.
Mm. A lot of unpredictability and instability. Jonathan, as business editor, what will you be looking out for in the budget?
At the moment, really interested to see how the government manages those kind of contradictory forces. It's going to be criticised no matter what. So every dollar it spends, opponents will say you're being inflationary. But then if it doesn't look after community members who are doing it tough, they're going to be accused of being unkind. So I'm really interested in the balance that they're it's a very narrow path, and I'll be interested to see how they navigate that and whether they can deliver on it. But they will be criticised no matter what.
Tom?
Yeah, I think that's a great point from Jonathan, and the criticism's already there. One argument that I think is quite interesting is how much of the situation that we find ourselves in actually predates the conflict. And I think the opposition, the Liberal Party in particular, has been working hard to point out that there was rising inflation in Australia and that economic growth wasn't pretty hot before this conflict started, so the conditions weren't great. When you add on to that the state of public finances, you know, a few years on from the pandemic and difficult constrained budget environment already, the government needed this war like a hole in the head. I think that's probably why they're pushing so strongly for the Strait to reopen and for things to get back to some semblance of normal. Then the question is, how long does it take for the whole thing to flow through the global economic system, and what's the political price for that?
Tom, Jonathan, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Noor.
That was political editor Tom McElroy and business editor Jonathan Barrett. You can find more of their work on theguardian.com, and we've linked to their latest pieces on the Full Story page. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria, who also did the sound design mixing by Joe Koning. The executive producer of this episode of Full Story is Miles Herbert. Don't forget to subscribe or follow us wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also leave us a review. I'm Noor Haider. Thanks for listening.